Today, we'll talk about Jay's Disney World trip redo. That's coming up on this episode 114 of WDW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WDW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 114. As this episode is going up, I am headed to Disney World yet again. It's almost like it's my job or something. But this is a big 9-day trip that's going to include lots of different things like the last Halloween party and the first Christmas party, a volunteering time at Give Kids the World, hosting a private breakfast with Anna, Elsa, and Olaf, lots of things all packed into this 9-day trip. So I'm super excited about it. And so I'll have more about that on a future episode, I'm sure. So I wanted to talk today to a podcast listener named Jay. Hey, Jay. And Jay is somebody I've interacted with a lot on social media. And he also is a person who's emailed me, listens to the podcast. And I knew that Jay had recently gone on a trip that he hoped would be better than his first trip. And so I wanted to, I didn't know before hitting record how his trip had gone, but I certainly hoped it had been better for him. So today I'm going to have the conversation I had with Jay about his trip. And after I play that for you, I am going to have the normal news and a featured company and a quick tip of the day. So without any further ado, here is my conversation with Jay. Happy to welcome Jay Inslee to the podcast today. Welcome, Jay.
Hi, thanks.
So I know from talking to you that you just got back from your second trip to Disney World, but your first trip was not as successful. When was your first trip to Disney World?
Our first trip was, it was May 2014, and it was myself, my wife, and our son, who was 3 years old at the time.
Okay, and then on that trip, how did you sort of approach the planning for it? Like, did you know that it was going to take a lot of planning, or did you think that the planning wasn't so important then?
Exactly. Yeah, I thought when I jumped into the planning process for that, I did not think it was very, very important at the time. As a matter of fact, I had gone to Disney previously back in 2003, and things were very, very different back then. And I thought I could just jump into a trip really with no planning at all.
And so it was you, your wife, and your 3-year-old son. And what was it about that trip that didn't go as well as you had hoped?
Right. So when we stayed at the Polynesian because my son was 3, and I figured it'd be easier for us to be on a monorail line. And so I spent a fair bit of money staying at the Polynesian, getting club level. And I thought by just kind of throwing some money at it and with very little planning that the trip itself would go really, really well. But I also bought a dining plan. The thing that I didn't do was I didn't make really much for table reservations. It was a little too hot. There were these little things that we had kind of skipped through the whole process when I had talked to my wife. I had said, I think we should plan this out. And she's like, nah, we'll just kind of play it by ear. We'll figure it out. And that's kind of how we approached this entire trip.
In 2014.
In 2014.
Okay. Right. So it was hot. You didn't have all the dining reservations you needed and maybe didn't plan as much as you should have on that first trip.
Exactly.
And I think from talking to you before that there was also some stress about like your son having meltdowns and sort of the overall tone of the trip not being very fun.
Absolutely right. One of the things that I did not really pay enough attention to was naps. You know, with me, I thought we could just take my son, who again was 3, going through the park, and I figured, well, maybe he can just take a nap in the stroller as we're walking around. The heartbreaking moment came like halfway through the trip where he was sort of crying. He was very upset, had a big meltdown, and looks at me and just says, Daddy, I want to go back to daycare. And that was at the point where I realized, oh no, I am pushing too much and he's not having fun. So it was kind of good as well, because I was able to adjust myself and back off and say, from here on out, we're going to do naps and we'll try to kind of get things going in a better direction. One of the things that I shouldn't have done is, we were talking about doing like Stitch's Great Escape, thinking to myself, oh, well, my son loves Lilo and Stitch. Let's go to Stitch's Great Escape. I know it's not the greatest of rides, but it was so dark and, you know, it really, really scared him. And because he couldn't touch mom and dad because he's strapped into those, mm-hmm. those seats, that was kind of one of those points where he's like, this is no fun to me at all. And that's, you know, those were some of the mistakes we made.
And you were the planner for the trip. So how much was your wife involved in making decisions on that one?
She not very much. She definitely went through and kind of approved or disapproved certain things. Normally she's really, really good at the planning, but she thought I had it under control, and kind of stood back and said that, you know, we booked the trip through AAA. There was no, you know, she thought it was basically all set. We had everything taken care of.
Mm-hmm. And when she got there, she was just surprised that it wasn't, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely right. When she got there, I think she kind of was like, well, you know, I mean, she went along with everything. Definitely at that point, I got a lot more kind of, why, you know, you would go for one ride and then again, waiting in the lines, especially as you mentioned so many times, you know, a toddler wants to go on a ride multiple times, and to look at them and say, well, we did the ride once. We did Peter Pan's Flight one time. We're not going to wait to come back to do it. I have to go find another ride. Mm-hmm. And sometimes those rides weren't necessarily in the same area. I would have to walk all the way across the park to try to find another ride that we could squeeze into.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I think I'm not too surprised that those things were a problem for you, but some of that, I mean, as much as you hear me say it or read it, sometimes you just have to experience it firsthand to know right. what, you know, what's going to work for you. Cause some people don't take midday breaks, but I still swear by them. So your 2014 trip didn't go great. So you wanted to try again and have a better approach. So which things did you try to improve upon on your recent trip?
Absolutely. So the studying and revisiting the podcasts and checking your blog sites and even other people and really stepping back and taking the planning a lot more serious. As I mentioned in our first, I call it my first failed trip, it was only a few days. We booked the trip in February and then went to the trip in May. And so we missed a lot of dining reservations and so on and so forth. This time we booked the trip 210 days out. Mm-hmm. I went in with a plan. I had a budget. I had some things I wanted to achieve. I wanted to get free dining. I wanted to go to the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party. I know I needed to make concessions, but all the preparation and learning I did made any concession that I made, I was able to deal with that stuff. And that would be things like, in the first trip, we stayed at the Polynesian. Next trip, we were staying at Caribbean Beach. And that, you know, those are two different resorts. You have to navigate them differently. Is that going to be a problem? And again, looking at your blog posts, I was able to navigate that better.
And let me guess, you ended up staying at Caribbean Beach because they had free dining available.
That's exactly right.
There. Yeah. That was one of the more popular options this year for free dining. And the benefit of staying at a moderate is that you get the regular dining plan instead of the quick service one. So it's a good bang for the buck. Okay. So, I forgot to ask you the number of days you went on your first trip.
Right. Okay. On the first trip, it was only 6 days, with no breaks. And the second trip was 7 days, and we were smart. We took a day of rest.
With a break. Okay. So, and what were your trip dates this time?
This time it was October, I think, let's see here. Oh, no, September. It was September 29th to October 7th.
Okay. So a little bit longer with breaks, staying at Caribbean Beach with the regular dining plan, and you had the Halloween party included. Yeah. So how did that trip go?
That trip went fantastic. I felt like I did everything right. Everybody was happy. There were zero meltdowns. My wife was happy, so therefore I double won. Again, no meltdowns. My son was really able to participate in so much more. Again, being a year older, he really enjoyed himself. But the biggest thing about it being successful was I really enjoyed it. And on the first trip, I wasn't able to kind of step back and relax, you know, because everything kind of seemed to go all pear-shaped. And so in this trip, I was able to really enjoy it. And and you can tell by the pictures we took. There's a lot of these fun, casual pictures. My son just walking through Disney versus selfie pictures or things like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you could see how much more calm we were overall as a family. And, you know, definitely I knew my all of our attitudes were better. We were ready, willing to even help people who were lost during Disney transportation and things like that. So it was a great trip.
So let's think about the things that you had issues with in 2014, the heat. I assume it was still hot, right?
Absolutely. It was definitely still hot. And we dealt with that again by getting up really, really early, making sure that, you know, if we had breakfast reservations, we were there early and we were out early. And then the key piece is when we took our afternoon breaks, it was between 12 and 2. I mean, we tried to escape that heat as much as possible. We had one day where it was a beautiful day in Animal Kingdom. And we were there to we spend the entire day there with no breaks because it was so cool. And my son and I were just, that was, again, the weather being so much cooler that particular day. Mm-hmm. We were able to spend the entire day. But we managed those afternoon breaks, made all the difference in the world with dealing with the heat because we were able to pop in the pool during the really, really hot time or nap and then come back when it was cooler at night or cooler in the morning.
Yeah. It's really a pretty significant temperature difference. And I was there just before you, I think. And, 1 to 5, I took breaks every day and I was by myself. I was a grown up alone. But 1 to 5, it's just busy and it's hot. So it makes sense. Whatever you do during that break, I mean, nap, swim, whatever, I think it makes a lot of sense to do it too, no matter who you are. But I also think, you know, the staying flexible and going ahead and staying at Animal Kingdom when the weather felt right is also like an important part of it. You know, I always tell people to make a plan, but stay flexible. And I think being flexible can include staying in the park, you know?
Right. So, absolutely. The other point you were making was in our first trip, I had no flexibility. And you know, you reminded me of the fact that our plane was definitely very, very flexible. All our planning happened kind of in the morning part of the park. And then at the end of the day, it was just open for us to do kind of whatever we wanted to do. So that made things a lot easier.
Yeah, I think it is the best combo of planning, but staying flexible. It's one of my personal agendas is to make sure that people remember to stay flexible because I grew up in a family that wasn't. And I remember how that felt. I can still remember being a kid in that situation and being bossed around everywhere and not really having fun. And so I just think it's super helpful to be flexible. Did you end up being flexible and rewriting rides this time? Was that part of your trip?
Absolutely. Yeah. We got to do Peter Pan a couple of times. What else did we do? The other thing about the flexibility was because we were able to go early, we get to ride so many big rides. I get to bank my fast passes and then use them later on in the afternoon, with whatever was available. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like a little bonus on the flexibility planning. Mm-hmm. But we did. We definitely rerode rides. This was the first time we get to ride the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. And that was one of the rides the second time around my son absolutely loved.
Oh, did he get to ride it twice or did you ride
it? He did. Yep. Nope. Okay. He got to ride it 2 times.
That's nice. I have entire trips where I don't even ride it once sometimes.
Yeah.
there's a lot to do at Magic Kingdom. How did you feel about the Halloween party? There's been a lot of mixed reviews this year about it.
Great question. Yeah. So this was, so we were all in, we did costumes. My son right now is totally into Miles from Tomorrowland, which is a Disney Junior, a TV show that's currently on. And so we came as the Callisto family and, we bought a suit for my son and my wife and I made our costumes and we did the smart thing. We waited till 4 o'clock and then went to the Magic Kingdom, got right in there, saw them shuffling people out. And my wife was going, it's still a little busy in here. And I'm like, yeah, but it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It didn't really get any better. I mean, it was still kind of very, very packed. We rode all the rides. There was still a lot of waits. There's like a lot of 30-minute rates, waits on the rides. But we, again, I focused primarily on riding rides. The one part that I really was bummed out about is I missed the show and the parades. And that was just, again, I still made certain mistakes on the second trip. And there was one point where we were specifically between Peter Pan and It's a Small World, and the fireworks were going off, and I realized I'd forgotten the show. But it turned out that it was perfect because those fireworks were happening right over us, and my son was on my shoulders, and he watched those fireworks. And to him, I think he didn't know any better, you know, any different at all. He just saw this and like, this is amazing. They're doing fireworks just for me underneath my head. Yeah. So that kind of really, really worked. We were able to stay there until like 11:30. And for a little guy, I think that was asking a lot. The only other issue we bumped into was I never anticipated how packed the buses were going to be for mm-hmm. people going to the Halloween party.
Mm.
So you end up with kind of your costume on and everybody wants to get on the bus at the same time. And I was like, oh, that's, you know, that's strange. It's kind of like rush hour subway traffic, if you will. And it was strange for 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
That is strange. You wouldn't expect that on a normal day, but on a party day, it can be like that, I guess. So a couple other questions. You stayed at Caribbean Beach Resort, which has had a bridge closed. Did that cause any problems for you?
No, as a matter of fact, we knew that bridge was closed. And there's actually on that little island, there's a playground.
Right.
And a lot of people didn't realize, people with children didn't realize the playground was open. But we did. So there was a couple of days where he had that entire playground to himself. And we actually stayed at a pirate room, which was far away from the preferred room area, which was okay. It wasn't that bad of a walk. And we often did the walk back and forth from the Trinidad South, which is where the pirate rooms are, mm-hmm. to Port Royal. And it was great because when we would do the walk, he'd play in the playground. The stay there was great. That it is definitely a challenge navigating that resort with the way the buses are. Even if you're staying at some of them, you know, preferred rooms in that area, it does seem kind of you're far off and you're always in these buses and so on and so forth. My only complaint really about the Caribbean Beach was the pirate rooms for adults. They're so small. So one of the things my son loved it because it's a pirate boat and a pirate ship and he's of that perfect age. But what my wife and I had to do is we basically had to switch, you know, beds. My son would stay with my wife one night and he would sleep in my bed one night and we would go back and forth. But it felt like, I mean, I'm almost 6 feet and my was not all that comfortable sleeping in those small full size pirate beds.
Yeah, that is the downside of those. I think those rooms are going to be refurbished soon. And so that might include using queen size beds there instead.
Which could be great.
Yeah, that would be an improvement. So Caribbean Beach Resort has the most internal bus stops too. So that might have been part of your frustration or the reason that the buses were so full is that they just have a lot of different stops to get to and it can take some time. So
absolutely right.
That's actually when I stayed there, that was my biggest complaint. And I found out right after that 70% of people drive to Disney World. So if 70% of people have cars, then that's not as big of a deal. Right. But I usually rely on Disney transportation when I'm there. You mentioned earlier that you used a AAA agent for your trip last year. And this year, what did you do?
Right. So this year I was, you know, a lot more prepared and thought to myself that I wanted to go ahead and make these reservations myself and call Disney and work through that whole process. But again, I wanted to take advantage of free dining. And because the time I booked my trip, there was no deals going on at that particular point. I knew that around the May timeframe, there may be additional deals coming through. And so I looked at Key to the World Travel. And I said, I've got nothing to lose. Let me go ahead and do this. And I really wanted a traveling advocate, somebody who could use those phones all the time because I have to work, you know, and I don't have time to call Disney and so on and so forth. And that worked out fantastic. I mean, I got a great agent who I remember the day that she got, you know, the free dining. I get this great email that says, hey, listen, I saved you this much and you get the free dining. And there were some other, you know, some other perks thrown in there. Very, very sweet, great, great team of folks to work with. And, you know, again, I recommend to everybody, much like you do, you know, this is such a perfect process. Go with somebody who specializes in Disney World. Even if you know a lot, again, having somebody there to make those plans for you, it was perfect. And again, one of the greatest things is the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. I initially booked on a Friday. And when you purchase those tickets, Disney sits here and says, these are non-refundable and you can't change them. Well, somewhere during my trip, I wanted to change that Friday to a Thursday. Again, it came down to looking at the crowds. And I could see it said non-refundable, but I got a hold of my agent at Key to the World Travel. And I said, hey, listen, I did this. I kind of screwed up. Can you fix this? And again, said, you know, when I was talking to the agent, she said, I might not be able to, but let me try. And she was able to do it. And I was super, super happy with that.
If I'm not mistaken, your agent was Tori.
Yes.
Is that correct? Yep. So when I talk about how any quote requests that are submitted through my site automatically go to a team that's been handpicked, and Tori's a member of that team, and she's one of my favorite people on the planet, and she's fantastic. So I'm glad that you guys were able to work together, because I like you both.
Yeah, so, and I hope to work with her again too. So that'll be fantastic.
Yeah, she's great. Yes. So you mentioned a couple of things that you might have done differently on this trip. Anything else that you may want to improve upon for a future trip?
Absolutely. There's definitely a lot of little things, miscellaneous points that I had discovered in this trip that, again, that make me better, I think, going on in the future. We talked about the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. One of the things we did for extra magic was I created these shirts. I created custom shirts. It was like every day was a different shirt. And they're kind of like copies of Disney, Disney stuff, for example. And one of the examples I did was I did kind of a knockoff shirt to Hard Rock Cafe and turned it into Wand and Oaken's trading post from Frozen. It's kind of an inside joke with me and the family. My son loves the part where they go, ooh, and Sana. And we always talk about this part. So I made this shirt and I did it all in Photoshop, and I found an online vendor who does really good, high quality t-shirts. Submitted those t-shirts in, and, you know, instantly got back that we can't do this as copyright infringement. And I didn't think about it, you know, to the extent I was like, well, why can't I just print a shirt off? But it does make sense. Is something to be prepared is people who spend time, you know, doing some of this stuff, you know, you have to think about the licenses and so on and so forth before you submit, you know, creations like that. My wife luckily uses the Cricut. And so when you buy certain cartridges for that, it's a die cut machine, you know, you are paying for the licenses for that. So just that was kind of a surprise. I was able to work it out in the end, and that all worked great.
Just on that same note, it depends on the vendor. Really good professional vendors don't want to infringe on anyone's trademarks, for sure. If you order anything on Zazzle, which Disney has a Zazzle sort of shop, and you can personalize it with your stuff, you can't say like Smith Family Disney World Trip, or you can't say anything with Disney World in it. You can use Disney's graphics because it's Disney Store, but you can't use the words Disney World. So a good substitute for that is to say WDW, because that's not trademarked. But certainly you can't do the images or any of their sort of trademark phrases or characters or anything like that.
Yeah, and it seems so simple, but you know, it's good to know now, and it's like, okay, that makes sense. That's something to plan through. The other funny thing was the last trip we brought just a normal operating laptop, which had a full operating system on it. But this trip we wanted to pack lighter, so we just brought our phones, and we had pre-purchased PhotoPass. And when you're using your iOS device, at least currently, when you're using your iOS device or a Kindle, and you go to the PhotoPass website, even though you purchase it, sometimes it'll say on the iOS device that you haven't purchased PhotoPass. So I got wrapped around the axle a little bit on that going, you know, during the trip, I made a phone call to the support team, and I'm sitting there in Hollywood Studios saying, well, I bought PhotoPass, but how come it's showing me that I didn't buy PhotoPass and blah, blah, blah. And it wasn't until I went to talk with somebody there who said, I think it's because you're using an iOS device. And when you get home and you use a real computer, it won't show that. And that was actually truthful. It was went home, you had to basically click a button that says, do you accept the terms, and you can download your photos.
Oh, I see.
So some, yeah, it was definitely one of those things where I was like, okay, so it makes sense, you know, to use a full machine just to accept the license agreement. So that was one of the other things we bumped into.
The one of my only hesitations with bringing a laptop, because I almost always do, is the safes are not often not big enough to protect them, and so it's always tricky to figure that out. But that's why I put the do not disturb thing on the door and just get my own toiletries.
Right,
right. Because I figure the fewer people that are in the room, you know, the better my chances are of not having things stolen. But that's always a tricky one. And also when you're traveling, it's kind of annoying. You have a young child and you're going through airport security and you have to get your laptop out, take your shoes off. It's complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's always hard to figure out which way to go with that. So now that this trip was better than the last, you have a few things you might do different next time. When is the next time going to be?
The wife doesn't know this yet, but I think there's another website called dlrprepschool.com.
Oh, there is.
And I, interesting blog. So I've been spending a lot of time over there. And I think that might be the next trip.
I would 100% support that mission. It's especially with your son being so young, it's smaller, and I just think it's easier and not quite so overwhelming. So that would be fantastic. I will make sure Casey knows that.
Thanks.
So anyway, well, that sounds great. I'm glad that you were able to have a redo and have a successful trip, and I appreciate you coming on the podcast to tell us about it.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
Well, I loved hearing from Jay about how his trip went, and I'm glad that it was an improvement over the last one, as I said. So hopefully there was a nugget or two in there for you to learn from some of the things that he experienced on both of his trips. So let's dive into news that popped up this week. First of all, Fantasmic dining packages are now available through the end of April. They previously were not available in March and April because the calendars, the park hours, didn't have any Fantasmic scheduled until recently. So not only did the Fantasmics then start to appear on the calendar, but now the Fantasmic dining packages are available as well. So if you're interested in booking one, I would go ahead and do that now. And hopefully then the May packages and all those will be available on time for the people that are traveling in May. We'll see very soon. Secondly, I told you last time about the Design Your Own Magic Band station, which is now open in the Space Mountain gift shop. I recorded the episode on a Thursday because I flew out on Friday to go visit my parents for the weekend. And then, of course, on Friday is when it actually opened up. So now for about a week or so, those stations have been open. The prices are between $21 and $30, and you can customize them with the color, the graphics. By the way, the color includes purple. As an option, as I mentioned last time, you can choose from one of many graphics, and then you can add your name optionally if you would like. And that's in the Space Mountain gift shop. I'll be stopping by there this trip to check it out in person. Thirdly, 1900 Park Fair brunch. I think I've mentioned that as a news item probably last time or recently. And it's because some readers had noticed that 1900 Park Fair had brunch available during Thanksgiving week and they were able to make reservations. And now we know that it's also going to be available through over the Christmas time, beginning, I believe, on December 20th. And so brunch at 1900 Park Fair, which is inside the Grand Floridian, will be an option, but it will not include characters. Breakfast and dinner do include characters. Brunch does not. But if you would like to eat there during your trip, you can make those reservations now. Next up, Disney announced this week that they're going to have something called Club Villain, which is going to be an event offered at Hollywood Studios. The first one will be January 16th. And I believe they're scheduled about once a week through March or something like that. Disney actually didn't announce that, but I think that's how it's going to work out. It is $99 a person. So in addition to having a Hollywood Studios ticket, you have to have the $99 per person event ticket. And not a lot of information is known about that, but I will link to the Disney Parks blog announcement about that event. So if that's something you're interested in, you can read what has been published so far. Next up, there are new refillable mugs at the resorts. Now, years ago, the resorts used to each have their own refillable mugs. So if you stayed at a different resort, you would get a different mug each trip. Then they changed to the same mug to at all resorts. And now they have recently started to roll out a new design. So if you've been before and you are going back, you can get a new mug to add to your collection. But look for that in the gift shop when you're picking up your refillable mug, or in the quick service restaurant, I should say, not the gift shop. And then lastly, sort of just a podcasting note, Google Play Music, which is something Android phone users can use, is going to be offering podcasts soon. So this podcast has been submitted and accepted by Google Play Music. So once it is offered, then this will be available through Google Play Music. I do not know the date, and Google hasn't told us. They just said it's accepted, and once it's available, your podcast will be there. So if you're an Android user, then look for that, hopefully in the very near future. And for today's featured company, it is going to be Key to the World Travel. You heard that Jay used Key to the World this time. He was not happy with this agent experience his first trip, but he was happy this time, and he got a member of the WW Prep team, all of whom I really like working with and all of whom I know. And this time he happened to get Tori, but when you submit a quote request through me, you get one of the agents that are on that team. So if you want to use an agent and you want to make sure it's a good agent, then that is one way to go about it. So I will link to the quote request form in the show notes. And then the way the workflow works is anybody who submits through there goes to that team, and it's dispersed to one of the members. And then they will get back with you with a quote for your trip. And then finally, for my quick tip of the day today, that my quick tip is to record your trip details daily. And this is something that is sort of a reminder for myself, because this is something I used to do, then I stopped doing it. I recently started doing it again, and I can't believe I ever stopped. So, you know, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, when I started going to Disney World for the first time, I would every day, just with a notepad — this was before, you know, social media was a thing — but every day I would just write down the highlights of that day so I wouldn't remember it. You always think you're going to remember it, but you don't. So I would just sort of do a bullet list, and then often I would get home and I would type up a trip report, and that would help me remember it. What I'm doing now is, when I'm at Disney World, I upload all the pictures with captions and sort of tell the story of the day that way on Facebook. And I just did this in September when I was there. Every day I would upload a batch of pictures and sort of tell the story. And I keep going back to those uploads on Facebook to remind myself what I did when, and, you know, the details that I often forget. So whatever method that you use, I would just recommend that you jot it down, whether it's on paper, whether it's a note on your phone, whether it's social media, you know, you pick. But I just don't want you to go on the trip and then get home and forget all those little moments that, you know, you often do forget after you get home, because the details often get lost, and you often only remember sort of the big highlights as opposed to the fun little memories that happen and are peppered throughout the day. So anyway, that is my quick tip of the day. So I think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on the show, you can visit wdwprepschool.com/episode114. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.